Now, September is my favorite month of the entire year because it is the month where I have the most things that have been, that have happened in my life that are worthy of celebrating. And today is a day when we celebrate. Let's celebrate the birthdays that we have for the month of September. On the 4th, we have Paul Thompson. On the 9th, Buck Gilbert. On the 10th, Grant Dibble. On the 22nd, Bill Payne. On the 24th, Demi and Sidney Dobbin. On the 26th, I share a birthday with Wade Rinker. On the 29th, we have Craig Shablick. So let us pray for those with birthdays this month. Oh God, our times are in your hand. Look with favor, we pray, on these your servants as they begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We also celebrate those who have anniversaries. On the 2nd, we had Kevin and Julie Bettinger. On the 6th, Clarence and Linda Morgan. On the 13th, Travis and Leslie Pearson. On the 15th, Wayne and Jan Nelson. So let's pray for those with anniversaries this month. Watch over and guide these couples, O Lord, as they celebrate another year together. Bless them as they continue to grow in love toward each other. Strengthen them when times are difficult. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Let their lives together reflect the love that you have for them and all your beloved ones. In their hearts, may your peace, which passes understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And today is also the anniversary of my ordination, so I would ask that you pray for me as well. Do we have any announcements other than what's printed in your bulletin? We'll go over those quickly. First is men's breakfast resumes this Wednesday. They'll be over at Southside Grill at 8 o'clock. Youth night and confirmation will start this Wednesday at 5:45. You'll note that I do need more mentors for our confirmation participants. I just ask that you be an adult and be baptized and willing to share your faith with one of our young people. Bell Choir began last Thursday. If you'd like to join the Bell Choir, please come at 1 o'clock on Thursdays. We have a church council meeting next Sunday at 2. Don't forget the St. Luke's Episcopal's Hoedown on Sunday the 10th at 4 o'clock. And there will be a suicide prevention training at Union Congregational on Wednesday, September the 13th. And if you'd like more information, you can check our bulletin board or you can check our newsletter that was just sent out yesterday. Do we have any other announcements? Michelle.
Today we are going to start the Bible study, Women's Bible Study, Tuesday the 12th, 10 o'clock. And I'm thinking it's going to be some speakers from Women of Faith. So that program, and there's several speakers.
Any other announcements? If not, today we are using Chosen People. So let's begin with our invocation song, We Are Gathered Here. Lord be with you always.
And also.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. let us join together in our confession. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes we hate. Sometimes I lie. Sometimes I waste. Sometimes I cheat. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I am selfish. Sometimes I am prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am destructive. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Hear these words of forgiveness. Even though we are in bondage to sin, there is hope for freedom, not by our own doing, but because we are chosen by God to receive the gift of forgiveness. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know this is true.
Thank you.
Let us join together in our prayer of the day. Gracious Lord, we are a chosen people, but sometimes we don't feel like anyone would choose us. Sometimes we feel our best friends and our family don't even know us. It seems the pressures of the world are too much for one person alone. Help us remember, Lord, that each of us is specially chosen to be part of your family, to follow in the footsteps that Jesus walked, and though the road may be difficult, help us today to feel the presence of your Spirit holding us forever in your family. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is from the 15th chapter of Jeremiah, verses 15 through 21. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were frowned, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wounds incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you. To save you and deliver you, says the Lord, I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us read Psalm 26, verses 1 through 8, responsively. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Trust me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you. I have not sat with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful. I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, O Lord, that I may go in procession round your altar, singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory abides. The second reading is from the 12th chapter of Romans, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In last week's gospel, Jesus asked his disciples who people said he was. Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But who do you say I am? Jesus asked. Simon answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, which means rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. How do you think Simon Peter must have felt? He seems to be the hero of the story. And then we come to this week's gospel, where we are told that after hearing Peter's confession of faith, Jesus starts telling his disciples that he will undergo great suffering and be killed and rise on the third day. Peter proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah, but Jesus is talking about being a different kind of Messiah than Peter envisioned. A suffering Messiah, not a triumphant one. Peter responds, Oh no, Lord, you want the crown, not the cross. You want the crown of victory and not the crown of thorns. You want glory. Not suffering. No, Lord, God forbid that you suffer. He may be thinking, if you are to suffer and die, and we are to follow you. Oh, no, no, Lord, that cannot be what you are saying. Jesus hears in Peter's words the words of the adversary, the one who might cause him to deviate from the path that he knows he needs to take. The one who would have him put aside his convictions to follow the path of the world rather than the path of God. Jesus turns to this one that he has renamed Rock and says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." How do you think Simon Peter feels now? He's gone from hero to zero. Jesus then tells Peter and the other disciples that they need to deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow him. He says, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life?" He does not mean just their physical life. He's referring to their eternal life, their spiritual life. What does it profit a person to gain everything that they want in this world if they lose what really matters? What would have happened to us if Jesus had allowed Simon Peter to be that stumbling block? If he had chosen the crown of glory rather than the crown of thorns? If he had decided to abandon his convictions for the comfort of the world? A few days ago, I watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge. It is based on the life of Desmond Doss, who served as an army medic during World War II. The film was directed by Mel Gibson, so you should not be surprised that it contained scene after scene of brutal violence. I found myself wanting to fast forward during some of the worst of the battle scenes, but I didn't. Let me tell you the story. Desmond Doss was born in 1919 in Lynchburg, Virginia, to William and Bertha Doss. William fought in the First World War and appears to suffer from what we would now call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Bertha raised her children as devout Seventh-day Adventists, instilling in them respect for the Sabbath, a love of scripture, and a vegetarian lifestyle. From a young age, Doss was captivated by a framed picture of the Ten Commandments, in particular the illustration that accompanied the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." It shows a drawing of Cain killing his brother Abel. After taking a gun away from his father during a fight, Doss vows never to touch one again. At the time the United States entered World War II, Doss was employed as a joiner in a shipyard, a position which made him eligible for a deferment. However, he felt a moral obligation to serve. He thought that if he became a medic, he could be like Christ, saving life instead of taking life. He went to South Carolina to join the 77th Division and begin his basic training at Fort Jackson. The Army initially refused his request to be a medic and assigned him to a rifle company, figuring that peer pressure and intimidation might convince him to handle a weapon. His fellow soldiers ridiculed him and did not want to associate with him. After all, how can you trust a man who refuses to carry a gun into battle? How can it be anything other than a liability? His fellow soldiers thought he was a coward. They beat him and tried to intimidate him. When he refused to work on the Sabbath, he was assigned extra tough duties. When he refused to quit, his superiors attempted to have him discharged on the grounds of mental instability. He was labeled a conscientious objector, though he disputed that label, stating that he was a conscientious cooperator. Unlike other conscientious objectors, he was eager to wear the uniform, to salute the American flag, and to serve his country. but he refused to handle a rifle. After a month of being in the infantry, his wish to train as a medic was granted. He went overseas with his platoon in 1944, serving as a medic in Guam and the Philippines, and was awarded 2 Bronze Star medals with a V device for exceptional valor in aiding wounded soldiers under fire. The movie skips over this part of Doss's life, instead focusing on what occurred during the Battle of Okinawa. During that battle, he ran through enemy fire to bring his wounded comrades to safety, saving the lives of between 50 and 100 wounded men atop the area known as the Maida Escarpment, or Hacksaw Ridge. Doss was wounded 4 times in Okinawa and was evacuated on May 21, 1945, aboard the USS Mercy. He was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions in Okinawa. After the war, Doss planned to continue his career in carpentry, but extensive damage to his left arm made this impossible. In 1946, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis, which he contracted while in the Philippines. He underwent treatment for 5.5 years, losing a lung and 5 ribs, before being discharged from the hospital in August 1951 with 90% disability. Because of his injuries, he was never able to work full-time and devoted the rest of his life to working with his church. He died in 2006 at his home in Piedmont, Alabama. In a documentary entitled Conscientious Objector, Doss said, "I felt like it was an honor to serve God and country. We were fighting for our religious liberty and freedom." Let me read his Medal of Honor citation. It details some information not presented in the movie, some of which Mel Gibson thought an audience would not find believable, even though it's true. Private First Class Desmond T. Doss, United States Army, Medical Detachment, 307th Infantry, 77th Infantry Division, near Arasomura, Okinawa, 29 April to 21 May, 1945. He was a company aid man when the 1st Battalion assaulted a jagged escarpment 400 feet high. As our troops gained the summit, a heavy concentration of artillery, mortar, and machine gun fire crashed into them, inflicting approximately 75 casualties and driving the others back. Private First Class Doss refused to seek cover and remained in the fire-swept area with the many stricken, carrying them one by one to the edge of the escarpment and there lowering them on a rope-supported litter down the face of a cliff to friendly hands. On 2 May, he exposed himself to heavy rifle and mortar fire in rescuing a wounded man 200 yards forward of the lines on the same escarpment. And 2 days later, he treated 4 men who had been cut down while assaulting a strongly defended cave, advancing through a shower of grenades to within 8 yards of enemy forces in a cave's mouth, where he dressed his comrades' wounds before making 4 separate trips under fire to evacuate them to safety. On 5 May, he unhesitatingly braved enemy shelling and small arms fire to assist an artillery officer. He applied bandages, moved his patient to a spot that offered protection from small arms fire, and while artillery and mortar shells fell close by, painstakingly administered plasma. Later that day, when an American was severely wounded by fire from a cave, Private First Class Doss crawled to him where he had fallen 25 feet from the enemy position, rendered aid, and carried him 100 yards to safety while continually exposed to enemy fire. On 21 May, in a night attack on high ground near Shuri, he remained in exposed territory while the rest of his company took cover, fearlessly risking the chance that he would be mistaken for an infiltrating Japanese and giving aid to the injured until he was himself seriously wounded in the legs by the explosion of a grenade. Rather than call another aid man from cover, he cared for his own injuries and waited 5 hours before litter bearers reached him and started carrying him to cover. The trio was caught in an enemy tank attack, and Private First Class Doss, seeing a more critically wounded man nearby, crawled off the litter and directed the bearers to give their first attention to the other man. awaiting the litter bearer's return, he was again struck, this time suffering a compound fracture of one arm. With magnificent fortitude, he bound a rifle stock to his shattered arm as a splint and then crawled 300 yards over rough terrain to the aid station. Through his outstanding bravery and unflinching determination in the face of desperately dangerous conditions, Private First Class Doss saved the lives of many soldiers. His name became a symbol throughout the 77th Infantry Division for outstanding gallantry far above and beyond the call of duty. Signed, Harry Truman, October 12, 1945. This was a man they called a coward for refusing to bear arms. This was a man that his supervisors later said was the bravest of all. Desmond Doss exemplifies a man who stood by his convictions when all others doubted him, a man who refused to do what was expected when it went against those convictions. He could have taken the easy way, the way of the world. He could have refused to suffer for the sake of what he believed. He could have allowed his fellow soldiers and his superiors to be stumbling blocks to his faith, setting his mind not on divine things, but on human things. Remember the words of Jesus. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? In our lesson from Romans 12 last week, we heard these words. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Today's epistle lesson extends that further, describing how followers of Christ are to behave with one another and with the world. It would be a good spiritual practice to look at all of Romans 12, reflecting on what God is asking of us and how we fall short of that mark. And when we fall short, what do? We acknowledge our need for a Savior. We fall at the feet of the one who chose the crown of thorns, the crown of suffering, rather than an earthly crown. For our sake and the sake of the world God so loves. Amen. Let us join together in our song of the day, We Are a Chosen People. As the chosen people of God, let us declare our faith together using the words that you will find on page 6. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen. Will you join me for the prayers of the people? Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors.
God of life, your words are the joy at the heart of your church. Draw the seeker to you. Place messages of hope and healing in the mouths of your witnesses and open your children to your truth when we stumble. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God of steadfast love, renew the earth by your Spirit, that lands and oceans reveal the beauty of your creation. Challenge us to live humbly and peaceably as part of your world. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God of patience, lead those who govern to hold fast to what is good. Guide them to show honor to the people in their care. Overcome evil in all nations and grant peace to peoples and places mired in conflict. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God of deliverance, remember all who are suffering, lonely, and in pain, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Liberate your people being insulted, persecuted, or in the grasp of the ruthless. Give endurance to workers who persevere on this Labor Day and ensure fair wages and safe working conditions. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
God of justice, equip this congregation to boldly follow you in uncertain times and to remain faithful in prayer when facing challenges. Show us how best to love and care for one another and our communities. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God of glory, we give thanks for the saints who now dwell with you in splendor, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Nurture us in faith until the day we join their heavenly song. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Come to the table. For all are welcome to the table of the Lord. love so much, receive this blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. Go now and live as chosen people of God. Amen. Let us join together in our closing song, We Can Make a Difference.